when I was preparing this morning, I didn't notice this last line of the gospel. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. I hope the Holy Spirit will tell me what to say today, because I have many things in my mind and I don't want to burden you with that, with all of them. This is my last day here. That's why so many thoughts have come to my last day. This is my last Mass here in this chapel this year. And we're on the last page, of our booklet, The Annum Way. I hope you have your new edition. But this week has been I've been here less than a week actually, but it's been a very full week, very rich in memories and in reuniting with people who are following the Annum Charism, old and new. Some people I've never met before. Some people didn't even exist before. Little babies. And so memories of people, and then many new people. In fact, some of you I don't know personally. So it's been a very joyful journey, an opportunity to meet with friends, and also just to be with people, because in the Philippines, the lockdown is still quite strict, and we don't have big groups of people like this, not yet anyway. So, and then the weather has been delightful all week, till today. I can't help but think about Pat Steele, the masses for her and for Roger. And she died, that's a long time ago, 29 years ago. Sister Barbara, who was her very good friend, died just 3 months ago. And so I'm putting these things together, things from long ago and things that are just very recent. I can imagine Sister Barbara and Pat rejoicing together in heaven. This place, I mean, we're rejoicing here too, but it's a lot better to rejoice in heaven where the communion is perfected. We experience a communion here. We're gathered by one faith. We're all spiritual children of Abraham, as the reading says. But there's a lot of imperfections too, and things go wrong and, you know, we get scattered. But in heaven, no, it's perfect unity in God. So I think of Pat, Roger, I think of Sister Barbara, I think of Father Francis, all these things in my mind. But at the heart of what we do, at the heart of, I mean, it's not activities or even people, but at the heart of everything is God himself, God who unites us. And what we focus on is not on what we do, but on what God does and what God is doing. He's the one who's not just drawing us together, but drawing us to himself. So the real unity comes from drawing close to God. And the key thing is our response to God, faith. All week, we've been reflecting on the letter to the Romans, and we'll be continuing this for a couple of weeks. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, keeps talking about faith, about being justified by faith, not being justified by what we do, not being justified or made righteous by fulfilling the law, following the commandments, or all the guidelines that God gave the Jews. That's all important, but it doesn't make us holy. What makes us holy is God and our response to him. We open ourselves to him, and then he's the one who justifies us or makes us righteous. And as we've been reflecting on this, all week we've had a lot of saints. Now, I know not all of you have been here every day, but I can't help but review my week. On Monday was the feast of St. John the 23rd, very popular pope and a relatively newly canonized. And then on Tuesday, I made a reflection on Our Lady of the Pillar, not well known here, but you know Our Lady. And then this blessed Carlo Acutis, who's not even a saint yet, but he's just a 15-year-old kid who was beatified a couple of months ago, or one year ago. It was in October last year he was beatified. I can't go into all these stories. And then on Wednesday, it was October 13th, so we recalled Our Lady of Fatima and that great message. And then yesterday was St. Teresa, St. Teresa of Avila. And again and again, St. Joseph kept appearing in our reflections, because St. John the 23rd had great devotion to St. Joseph. St. Joseph appeared on October 13th, 1917. He appeared along with Our Lady. Yesterday, St. Teresa, she had a great devotion to St. Joseph. And so I said, oh, why this St. Joseph? He's always in the background, but sometimes he comes into the foreground. And somebody asked me, today's saint is St. Margaret Mary. And someone asked me, well, you know, maybe St. Margaret Mary will have something to say about St. Joseph. So this morning I got up early and I went through my whole book on St. Joseph, every page. I couldn't find Margaret Mary anywhere. So maybe, I'm sure she loves St. Joseph, but I don't know what her relationship with him is. The center of St. Margaret Mary's journey is her experience of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As you know, Jesus revealed his heart to her as a young nun and gave her the mission of promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart. So here we are drawn to the heart of Jesus. Today's Saturday, so we're drawn to the heart of Mary. And of course, this is the year of St. Joseph, so we're drawn to St. Joseph. I told you I had a lot of things in my mind. Last night I came here for adoration. Many of you come here for adoration. This is really a beautiful place to adore the Blessed Sacrament. So I hope you take those opportunities when you can. This is a place of prayer. And if you want to be steeped in prayer, come here sometime in the silence of adoration. Anyway, I was here last night all by myself with the Lord here. And I noticed these images, at least this image was here last night of the Holy Family. And I said, well, here we're thinking about the Sacred Heart, we're thinking about the Immaculate Heart, we're thinking about St. Joseph. And this icon of the Holy Family is quite a beautiful one. You get this sense of a family united in love, a holy marriage. And then what struck me is these hands. Have you ever seen this image? There's Mary and Joseph's hands are directed toward each other. They're married. They're united in love. And then Jesus' hand is above them. He's their child. He's their son. So he's placing himself in their hands. But he's also blessing them because he's God. He's man and he's God. And so this icon captures some very deep things, even though you don't notice it right away. Then this morning I came in here for a little time of prayer and I saw this image that Father Francis made of Our Lady of Sorrows, our sorrowful mother. And that, it's of course the same woman and the same child. There's no Joseph there, I don't think. But that image that Father Francis gave us helps us to look past the surface. I mean, we're not just looking at hands, we're looking at hearts. The heart is exposed and in the heart of Mary or Mary's heart is enshrining the Eucharist. And Jesus has this interesting gesture. I take this opportunity to explain it to you. He has in one hand the Eucharist, a big host. He's holding it over the heart of Mary. And in his other hand, he's holding his own heart because the Eucharist and the heart of Jesus are the same. The Sacred Heart that St. Margaret Mary was so devoted to and the Eucharist are the same. When we come before the Eucharist, we are honoring the Sacred Heart. Now we're talking about some deep stuff. Let me just quote St. Margaret Mary here because she speaks of the heart as an abyss, I mean a vast space, like an ocean. The Sacred Heart, this is just from the writings of St. Margaret Mary, the Sacred Heart is an inexhaustible fountain. And inexhaustible fountain always stands out for me because we use that language in our prayer to our Queen Mother. We say, lead us into the Eucharistic heart of your Son to drink of the inexhaustible fountain of the divine will. You know that prayer. The Sacred Heart is an inexhaustible fountain and its sole desire is to pour itself out into the hearts of the humble so as to free them and prepare them to lead lives according to his good pleasure. So the Sacred Heart, what is it? Well, it's a fountain. It's an endless stream of grace. And then a little further down, she says this, this divine heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is an abyss of all blessings, and into it the poor should submerge all their needs. We're all poor, and we have lots of needs. What do we do with them? We can't solve them by going to the internet or going to the political structures or getting to the bank. We go to the heart of Jesus, all our needs. It is an abyss of joy in which all of us can immerse our sorrows. Who doesn't have sorrows? It is an abyss of lowliness to counteract our foolishness. Thanks be to God, we have something to counteract our foolishness, and we have lots of foolishness these days. It is an abyss of mercy for the wretched, and abyss of love to meet our every need. That's Jesus. That's Jesus' heart. An abyss that meets every need. So I was happy to have these images before us. Now, I haven't said anything about the readings, and maybe I'll just take a moment to because Father Francis, who was able to connect the saints and the mysteries of the liturgy and the readings, he could have done this much better. But let me just mention briefly, Abraham here, who's set before us as the model of faith. Abraham is the one who journeyed in faith, who believed without seeing, who was hoping against hope. He trusted that God could do the impossible. That's Abraham. And this reading, in this section, St. Paul says, when God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, he was talking about us. He's our father, not by natural generation. We're not descendants of, most of us are probably not descendants of Abraham, but we are his children by faith. We're his spiritual children. That's what we are to St. Joseph, too. We're his spiritual children. This whole year of St. Joseph is about getting to know and placing ourselves under the guardianship of our spiritual father, St. Joseph. Now, in the Gospel, Jesus says, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. To acknowledge Jesus Christ before in public ways is one of the necessary parts of faith. We think of faith as being interior and no one knows what we believe and we can't see what anyone believes. And when it comes to the angels, they don't have any problem acknowledging the Lord because they either are 100% acknowledging Jesus Christ or they're 100% opposed to him, the fallen angels. But they don't have a journey of faith, the angels. They're 100% who they are. They make one decision for God and that's it. We're not like that. Our faith is step by step, day by day. And sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge our what we believe before people. I mean, why? Because they'll reject us. They might think we're silly, they think we're old-fashioned, they think we're too religious, they think we're mentally disturbed or whatever people think about religious believers. And so we have this temptation to hide our faith or not express it. Jesus says, no, don't do that. Be prudent. You don't have to go out on the street and, you know, beat everybody over the head with Bibles or anything, but we have to be ready to stand for our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in the church, in the mysteries that have been revealed to us. Everyone who acknowledges me, actually, you're doing that right now. I mean, you don't have to come to Mass on Saturday morning. Probably those who know you are here probably think you're wasting your time. But by coming to a Mass, that's a public acknowledgement of your faith. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels. Whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels. So here we are before the angels. We're in the presence of the angels. We're in the presence of the saints. We are being drawn into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let's continue this journey. I'm leaving, leaving today. But wherever we are on this same journey, and we have plenty of angels and saints to help us, and we have more people who believe than we might realize. That's nice to see people. So this is the life of the church. And the life of the church is the great gift. Faith is a gift, but it's also something we do. We take responsibility for. So with the help God gives us, with the guidance of the scriptures, the liturgy, the Anuim charism, and one another, let us be united in living out with joy and confidence our Catholic faith.